You're listening to New England Public Media News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist, NEPM's Week in Review. Joining us today on the line, Mike Dobbs, managing editor of the Reminder Newspapers, and Natalia Munoz, host of Via Con Munoz on WHMP. Mike, Natalia, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Somewhere past 4 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday, the Massachusetts Senate approved a policing reform bill. It looks to ban chokeholds, create a certification process for police, and limit the use of tear gas, among other things. The bill now moves on to the House. State Senator Mark Pacheco wants broad support for the compromise version of the bill.
Then I hope we can come together on a piece of legislation where all of labor signs on to the final language, that we have the representation of the black and brown community and the minority communities.
Mike, as it stands now, there's 2 weeks left in the legislative session. The Massachusetts House and Senate have had their differences of opinions of late, and that's led to struggles in getting bills passed. Can they get it done here?
This is a huge issue. I think it's an issue, though, that will probably be seen as having a fair amount of priority attached to it. Simply because of the mood of the country, the mood of the Commonwealth. So if I'm going to be asked to predict something, I predict that they're going to try to get this done before the end of the session, because it is very important to many people.
Natalia, Westfield Senator John Velas, a Democrat, voted against the bill. He told the Daily Hampshire Gazette he thought more research needs to be done on the issue of qualified immunity for police officers, which this idea of qualified immunity is where public employees are kind of shielded from lawsuits, civil lawsuits, I should say. The bill reduces those protections, though, for police. What about his concerns?
I think he's right to want to slow down the process on qualified immunity. I think what he's calling for is more information before he makes a final decision. And I think much like with defunding the police, where, for instance, in Northampton, 10% was cut from the Northampton Police Department's budget, just without even thinking what the consequences could be, I think he's doing the right thing of, well, let's look at what the consequences could be before we do what may feel good at the moment, but the next day we'll all go, oh my goodness, there's a series of unintended consequences. And I think thoughtfulness in policymaking is exactly what is lacking. So I think he was smart to try to slow down that process.
Some supporters of this legislation point to a scathing report by the Federal Department of Justice about the Springfield Police Department's narcotics unit. The report says officers repeatedly punched suspects in the head but never reported the incidents. Police Commissioner Cheryl Claproot says the incidents mentioned in the report are under investigation.
Well, the police department probably never has had a policy regarding if you put your hands on someone, it's excessive force, we should be reporting it. And if that's the way that law enforcement's going and that's the standards they want us to meet, then that's the change we'll make.
Natalia, you said on your program that you were surprised by this policy. Tell us a little bit more.
Well, really, what is the difference between hitting somebody with a closed fist and hitting somebody with a stick or with another instrument? It's surprising that the police commissioner of Springfield is sound so lackadaisical about this, like, well, if they want us to just, report it now, then we will. This should have been reported from the get-go. Using violence, using physical violence against anybody should be reported. And that distinction that was created between using blunt instruments that are not part of the human body versus a fist, that's ridiculous.
Mike, this report is yet another black eye for the Springfield police, who over the years have seen brutality allegations, six-figure settlements, and a whole bunch of indictments. So who's responsible for what's been going on, and who should be responsible for cleaning up the department?
Okay, well, that's clearly the huge question that is at a great debate now in the city of Springfield. The city council would like to see the return of a civilian police commission that would serve as oversight. The mayor is saying that the city charter allows him to block that and that the present civilian oversight board is enough in terms of oversight. I think that this report weakens the mayor's argument, and I think it strengthens the argument of critics who say there should be more than what we currently have when it comes to police oversight in the city.
Natalia, regulations can be passed pretty easily. You know, laws can be changed. But what about changing police culture in Springfield and other places? It's one thing to have new rules in place, but is it another to actually have officers follow them and have those rules be enforced and embraced?
Yeah, that's a very complicated question, Adam. Changing the culture of an institution, and especially an institution that for centuries uses guns to try to, you know, keep law and order, as the phrase goes. But you have to start somewhere. And if you start with your policies, and then as new officers come on board, you teach them these are the policies. And with the old ones, you say, this is what you're going to be doing from now on. And if you don't, then we're going to suspend you or fire you. Well, then that's what you do. But not because it's such, it seems like insurmountable. Well, you know what? So did getting to the moon seem insurmountable? And we got there. So I'm sure that if we have the will, we can change the culture in police departments.
Shifting gears, Mr. Dobbs, the headline of your recent column is you are, quote, mad as hell and can't take it anymore. So, Mike, what's on your nerves?
Well, I'm getting concerned about the level of responsibility that I'm seeing in American society. I just am getting fatigued that people can seemingly put on a seatbelt in their car to prevent them from harm during an accident, but they view the wearing of a mask in public to try to prevent the spread of COVID-19 as some sort of erosion of their personal liberties and their constitutional values. And so, yeah, I did write a column where I expressed my anger about that kind of stupidity, and also the stupidity about comments that are made about the current Black Lives Matters movement as well. It's frustrating to me at my age, being an elderly guy at this point, seeing how little progress we have made when it really comes to civil rights in this country. And what's going on right now points that out. So, yes, I got angry.
Natalia, what do you think about what Mike just had to say?
I tend to agree with Mike, 100% of the time.
All right. Natalia Munoz, host of Vaya con Munoz on WHMP, and Mike Dobbs, managing editor of The Reminder. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the shortlist NEPM's Week in Review. Remember, you can catch us at any time wherever you get your podcasts or at nepm.org/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Media.